There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this very busy Monday. Gosh, we've said that for the last, month or so, month plus. Very busy in the news cycle. It's stupid busy, stupid ridiculous out there, of course, with the announcement from the Biden camp that came out on Twitter. Seems they said there'll be an address from President Biden later in the week, but it was kind of like, okay, I'm out. It's like somebody just posted that up on It just seems like it would be more official. I don't know. Maybe it's the default that good for Elon, that X is the place you go to say you're not running for the presidency. Maybe that's you go on there to say you are, go on there to say you aren't. We'll talk about that throughout the show today. Also coming up, your chance to win tickets to a tribute to Jimmy Buffett featuring the Coral Reefer Band. Keep the party going. That event coming right here Thursday, August 1st. So not long off at the Wharf Amphitheater. Give you a chance to win some tickets coming up sometime between now and 2 o'clock. All right, Congressman Jerry Carl joins us at 12:35. Also Dr. Sean Powers in hour number 2 of the show and our leadoff batter. You know him, you love him. One of, if not the busiest man in Alabama media. The crowd goes wild for Todd Stacey from Alabama Daily News and Capital Journal. Hey, Todd.
Hey, Sean. How are you?
I'm good. It's a heck of a Sunday, huh? Wow. And not wow that it's surprising that it happened, but I'm about to take my licks today because Congressman Carl, over a year ago, maybe 2 years ago, on here was saying, well, Biden will not be the nominee. And so, number one, I thought he would be nominee. And then, number two, I'd kind of committed to that. So I stuck with what I thought. And I said, well, if he's going to get out, they'll do it before Memorial Day. Hey, they'll do it after the debate. Heck, they'll do it for Independence Day weekend to show patriotism. But no, it wasn't until after the RNC. And I have a thought here that maybe that was by design. It was almost like, let the Republicans load up on Biden at the RNC and use, you know, expend their ammo there. I shouldn't say burn their powder there, and then go to, go to somebody else. In this case, it being Kamala Harris.
I mean, that's at least plausible. I do think I definitely think that waiting till after the RNC was wise. Whether or not it was planned, I don't know. But clearly, you know, he remained stubborn for weeks, you know, and really the Democrats are lucky that the debate happened when it did, because remember this week they were going to go forward with their virtual nominating, right? This kind of nominating via Zoom, and it was going to be Biden. You might have had some holdouts, but it was going to be, he was going to be nominated as the Democratic nominee this week. So he went about as late as you can go without, you know, getting into a situation you can't take back. But yeah, man, it's a huge, huge development. Nobody really knows how it might impact the race. I mean, everybody might have an idea, but until, you know, it obviously has fired up the Democratic kind of consultant base that we see on Twitter, right? Like those that were going to vote anyway and are serious, committed Democrats, kind of involved in the base in some way. What we don't know is if that reaches out into the actual voting base, which is not heavily online, and is still probably got some issues with what the administration has done for the past 3.5 years. So nobody really knows.
Okay. So the other, and I want to talk about one of the stories up on the email this morning from Alabama Daily News, talking about the Alabama Democrats that, you know, they've had something to say here over the last 24 hours, whether they are good with Kamala going forward or they want another choice. You kind of have a mixed bag here.
Yeah. You know, in the immediate aftermath of when we saw the statement from Biden come down, Alexander Willis said, well, let me try to get some responses. So he just started calling through Democrats, rank and file, a lot of them who have been nominated as or elected as delegates. Obviously, the Terry Sewells and Shamari Figures of the world, just to get their take. Now, some of the more senior Democrats, like Sewell and like Figures, said, you know, they're disappointed, but they're going to, they, you know, love Joe Biden, but we're going to support Kamala Harris. But there were some Democrats, three in particular, who really didn't want an acclamation, just to allow Harris to go in as the nominee without some kind of process. They wanted to slow it down. Some of them wanted Gavin Newsom or Wes Moore, the governor out of Maryland. So it's not as if she's 100%, got 100% support across the Democratic Party. I was kind of surprised to read that as I was editing today, that, yeah, it's not 100%.
It's a foregone conclusion, right? I mean, you have the endorsement here. The money's there. How they frame this is going to be interesting. Yeah, I've heard and I think it's a trap here. I'll talk about it later in the show. You and I can talk about it a little bit. The prosecutor versus the convicted felon. That they're now going to try to, which I think is, I don't think, I know is a weakness with some of the Democrat ranks about Kamala Harris this time, you know, top of the judicial in California. Right, they're going to try to frame the. I don't know. I've seen this enough over the last 24 hours. I think this may be one of the planks of their platform. Like, she's the law and order candidate, and Trump is not. I mean, how is that a winner to get Democrats motivated to come out and vote?
Yeah, I mean, what's interesting is because look, she was the Attorney General of California, and you know, back when law enforcement and law and order was still a winning issue on the Democratic side, she used to run on those kind of things, right? Helped her get elected to the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, after...
In today's world, you know, you think that works? I mean...
Well, yeah. Just the evidence is in 2020, right? When she's running for president, it fell out of favor, the, you know, locking people up and protecting the streets and all that kind of stuff. So she had to try to pivot to some kind of woke message that she never felt... natural to her, and got brutally attacked by more progressive Democrats who criticized her prosecutorial record. So yeah, I mean, if you open that door, mm-hmm. then you have to also answer questions about criticism of that. And she certainly doesn't want to talk about that. Not with today's Democratic Party.
In the VP stakes, who would be a VP candidate for Kamala Harris? You know, obviously the machines come out, spun a bunch of names out there. I thought. With interest is Kentucky's Beshears. Is that like their J.D. Vance to try to make a play on the Rust Belt states?
I mean, that could happen. To me, the most likely in terms of Rust Belt would be Shapiro out of Pennsylvania, because there just pretty much is no path to the presidency for Democrats without Pennsylvania. So that might make sense. But I also think that she could pivot to a more southern strategy and try to go for Roy Cooper out of North Carolina. You know, North Carolina and Georgia, you know, were on, well, they split last time around, but they're now battleground states. I think they would easily go toward Republicans this time around, but, you know, putting Cooper back on the ticket, trying to make a southern run in those two states in particular, seeing as how you now have, you know, a black candidate on the ballot. I could see that making sense, but to me, the leading candidate is Shapiro out of Pennsylvania.
Is it okay? So you think that formula is there that you can say, okay, it's going to be about that Rust Belt play. So I mean, Shapiro's in the mix, Beshear's in the mix, but it would be. And I wonder. I mean, Pennsylvania politics are pretty interesting. That you've got these two very blue areas, right, in the Southwest and the Southeast of the state. But I know. I mean, I've got a bunch of family comes from there. The rest of Pennsylvania. If it's not Trump country, it is Trump country. You know, it's a very rural state in portions, and that is big Trump country.
Yeah, and the interesting thing about that is Shapiro is about as moderate as a Democrat as you're going to find in governor's offices these days. He's also very strong on Israel. I don't know how that would be acceptable to the rest of the party, considering how far they've slid mm-hmm. on support for Israel. So you know, that's something to consider. It's not going to be an easy choice. Everybody else is talking about Gretchen Whitmer out of Michigan, which, again, you got to win Michigan if you're a Democrat. Well, Whitmer, as much as she's been criticized and kind of lampooned for some obvious mistakes, she's actually a pretty good candidate. She runs pretty well. She's incredibly well-spoken, gives great speeches, quick on her feet. And I could see that kind of overshadowing a Kamala Harris, who is just known for not for being the exact opposite.
Being not quick on her feet, yes.
Yeah, I mean, she's given some just weird, rambling answers that, you know, you can't really explain. So you don't want a vice presidential candidate that overshadows the presidential candidate. So who knows? That'll be the next thing to drop. But look, this is going to be a really close race. I think with Joe Biden, you had a guaranteed loss for Democrats. I mean, lots can happen in 100 days, but I think they've figured out that, number one, he's not getting any better. And so that race was just going to be guaranteed as a loss for Democrats and probably bring plenty of congressional seats over. So you're talking about a complete wipeout. Well, Kamala Harris isn't necessarily a sure thing, but she's not a guaranteed loss. So the calculation there becomes pretty easy, right? At least they have a chance with Harris. And again, it could backfire. It could turn into a worse loss. Who knows? But when you're guaranteed, when you got a loss already in your pocket, you might as well draw again, right?
Yeah, true. And as we wrap up here, too, any sense here yet, Todd, any sense of what we talked about, what Biden could mean for the AL2 congressional race? Does that change at all with candidate Harris? Has there been anything, opinion or research into that?
No, but we talked a lot about it on Capital Journal this past week. And there's no question that it benefits Shamari figures. There's just no question. In fact, in terms of House races, I don't know about Senate yet, but in terms of House races, he probably benefits the most from anybody in the country.
The whole country, okay.
Because the only thing that was really making that race close was, you know, turnout a presumed low turnout on the Democratic side, mainly because of Joe Biden and voter enthusiasm. I think at the very least, having a black candidate at the top of the ticket, they can spend money and use that to motivate more Democratic voters to get out. And even if it's just a normal baseline year for Democrat turnout, then that should go Democrats' way. It was with Biden on the ticket, there was going to really be a race, but now I would say it's back into an uphill climb for Republican Caroline Dobson.
It's going to be interesting to watch how this plays out. Todd, tell folks about getting the email if they want to do what I do 6 days a week, hit refresh and see it in there in the inbox.
It's really easy. Just go to aldailynews.com. That's the homepage. You can sign up right there on the homepage for the free newsletter and just enter your name and your email and you'll be on the list. And look, Inside Alabama Politics lands tomorrow, so
love
you
it.
Won't want to miss that. That's our paid portion. That's our premium paid subscribers, but may want to give it a try tomorrow.
It's juicy, y'all. It's juicy stuff. Yeah, get signed up. I'll always look forward to that. And, of course, Capital Journal, people can check it out online or, you know, when it airs, too, on TV.
That's right. APTV. Everybody in the state gets it. But if you miss it, go to YouTube. Search Capital Journal. All of our episodes are on YouTube.
Good stuff, Todd. Appreciate it, man. We'll talk next week.
All right, Sean. Be good.
All right, there he goes. Todd Stacey, and we're coming right back. More Midday Mobile, 343-0106. We'll take your calls and text, 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 1225, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, Monday style, 343-0106, how you get in touch. Yeah, how do you, if you're at the DNC now, how do you craft this campaign to win? Be interesting. There's probably a lot of work has to be done to try to make, I would say, the vice president seem presidential. I think that's probably, in my opinion, where I'm sitting. You can tell me how I'm wrong. Be wrong, but that's a heavy lift. It's a heavy lift. Also, I have a story here because somebody had texted. I did see it. The Donald Trump donated to Kamala Harris campaign in California back in the day. Yeah, we'll get to that. It's all interwoven. First, let's go to the phones. And David is in Mobile. Hey, David.
Hey, Sean. To answer your question you just asked, how do you make Kamala Harris look presidential? You do what the Democrats or the Republicans are screaming for, which is you throw Joe Biden out of the White House and you put her in the Oval Office.
Yeah, but you take a chance in doing that. Yes, but you take a chance in doing that for her to not seem presidential, too, if it's a fail.
I understand that, but it's a lot easier to run for president from the bully pulpit of the White House than it is from the outside looking in. And
but they don't want to short her. What are the rules here? If she filled in this last, she would still have the ability to run two terms? I got to look that up.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. It is. If you the constitutional amendment for presidential term limits says if you serve less than half of a term,
you
still qualify
you
for
the
two terms.
Pull a K. Ivey on it.
Exactly. That's why I predicted she was going to become president in January 21st of 2022, I believe, or 2023, excuse me, because that would have been the first day she'd have been eligible to serve two full terms. But and I'm in the camp with Todd Stacey and Brendan Kirby that I actually, all these Republicans that are jumping up in joy with glee, like Donald Trump saying that it's going to be easier to beat Kamala than it would be Joe Biden. I don't think so, because I think Kamala Harris is the only person that they can run that will not that will not alienate the core base of the Democratic Party. You know, there's a saying in politics that says Republicans don't need black votes to win, but Democrats can't win without them. And if they skip over the first female black vice president of the United States in favor of a stodgy old white guy from California or a stodgy old white woman from Michigan, they are going to alienate the core Democratic voter base of African Americans, and they will definitely lose. So I think she's the only one that gives them a chance at this point. So I think it's going to be a lot harder to beat her than it would be Joe Biden, because don't think for a second that this mainstream media is not going to run interference.
A big time. I'm ready for that. Yeah. When I heard that yesterday, I said, oh, my gosh, get ready. Get ready for the puff pieces to start coming out. Big time.
Exactly. And that's and the Democratic, the only reason why Joe Biden is not running is because the inside party insiders realized that the donations were drying up and the poll numbers were looking bad. That's the only reason Joe Biden is out of those.
Yeah, because he couldn't win. I mean, they looked at it probably, run it again, run the survey again, run it again, still no win. Okay, do this, run again, still no win. Yeah, absolutely. They don't care about his ability to govern. They care about his ability to win, and they didn't see that, so they're gone.
And exactly, and that's why Republicans need to stop calling for him to go ahead and resign, because they.
But that's not going to. But what does he care? I mean, is Biden going to go, oh, well, the Republicans are calling me for. I mean, they're just doing political stuff. The Republicans are. Do you think Biden's going to go, well, if the Republicans say I should get out, then I guess I'm getting out there, Jack?
Oh, I understand that, but that would actually be more beneficial to the Democrats than it would be to the Republicans. The Republicans need to start playing politics, not what's good for the country.
Well, I agree with the outcome, but I don't think that what Republicans are out there saying is going to change the mind of Biden and his handlers. Well, what, tell you what, we'll ask that of an elected Republican. AL1's Jerry Curl joins us coming up next.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:34 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Monday. Our busy news cycle. You're dang right. A busy news cycle, and we'll turn to our Congressman Jerry Curl here. I want to read this before we bring him on. Congressman Curl checking in. He was on with us last week when, you know, after the assassination attempt on Trump, and here we are just a week later, and you have the resignation for the campaign, the suspension of the campaign for President Joe Biden. And I'm going to read this. I mean, the man wrote it, but I'm going to read this and then, you know, get his reaction. On the Twitter or the X feed here, from Congressman Curl, said, President Biden's decision today to step off the November ballot proves what we've known to be true since day one. Joe Biden is totally unfit for office. And January 20th, 2025 can't come soon enough. The Biden administration will be remembered for weakening America, allowing chaos to spread across the globe, and burdening Americans with crippling inflation. Now more than ever, we need President Trump in office to get this country back on track and revive the American dream. Congressman, with that, does that also include, do you think President Biden should resign from office at this point?
Sean, I did not hear the question.
I'm sorry, the mic wasn't working. I read your commentary. I read your commentary from the Twitter post you put up, and about the suspension of the campaign for President Biden.
Right.
But on top of that, and you talked about the reasons why that was important, but I just got done talking in the last segment about whether he should resign as the president. So, I mean, politically, people are saying, you know, should he step down and let Kamala Harris, you know, would the Democrats want Kamala Harris in as acting president to seem presidential? Your thoughts on this?
I would prefer him stay. Now, everyone up here, and I'll support what the majority of the Republicans come up with. We'll find that out today at 5 o'clock in our little powwow session. But Sean, thing's spooking me right now is nobody has seen him. He is still there's no physical proof that he's still alive. I know that sounds weird, but you know, usually on Monday he has flown in by now. We've seen him get off the helicopter and do his thing, but nobody has seen the man whatsoever. So it's gotten a little spooky.
Just saying that he has COVID, or you know, he's going to stay there. I don't know if he's coming back or he stays in Rehoboth Beach to recover from that. But also the fact that as a suspension of a campaign, a short post on Twitter or X seems underwhelming. You know, and I know he's supposed to address later in the week. I don't know what that is, but your thoughts on that?
Well, he's supposed to address, I think, Wednesday. If my memory, surely it's Thursday, not Wednesday. Wednesday, we got Netanyahu coming in. They've already warned us to be prepared for 40,000 protesters. So a lot of these buildings will be shut down and locked up. So, he's got to tell the nation why. Why did he step down? Well, we know for a fact that he can't be tried because of his ill health. Now he can't run for, he can't be prosecuted because of his ill health. Now he can't run a campaign due to his ill health. So, you know, we've got roughly, what, about 4 months left in his presidency.
Mm-hmm.
And Kamala Harris could step up and take that. I've always thought that the Speaker of the House stepped up and filled the role as a vice president, but my staff was telling me today they'd researched it last night and they come up with a different theory. I don't know.
What is that theory? Who would become VP?
The theory is, first of all, you know, to get him out, it takes her and the cabinet to ask him to step down. He gets a chance to challenge it. If they get it back and agree to it, they can take him out. She gets to pick a vice president. It has to come and pass by majority in the House and the Senate.
Hmm.
So it's just going to stay in this continuous circle is what it's going to do. So, and I'm not real convinced that she is going to wind up being on the final ballot. You've got some other Democrats that seem to be rising up, saying that they may have some interest in it. And the scuttlebutt up here is they can't find anybody to fill in vice president, want to run vice president with her. So she's not a very liked person in Washington, D.C., by the Democrats or the Republicans.
Yeah, I would call out and say that wouldn't happen. But last time I said that, when you told me Biden wouldn't be the nominee come November, I was wrong on that one, Congressman. So I may learned my lesson there on this one. But it seems like there'd be some appeal. I'm just theorizing right now for her to bring in a VP, if that scenario your staff told you about, bring in a VP, and then you have a president and VP that have some mild incumbency, right, going into the election.
Yeah, but how many people put their life involved to get where they're at politically are going to want to step into that shoe that feels like she will not fill that role, that she will not be elected and serve with her, because people have got real problems with her up here. I mean, she's constantly turning over staff. She's belligerent. She's angry. But leaving that aside, I mean, there's a lot of ifs here. So I don't know that she's going to be the final choice. Right now she's on a high. Her points will never be any higher than today and tomorrow. From then on, they'll all start downhill. And you can mark my word on that. There'll be people coming out of the woodwork making statements about her past, her future, things she said, things she's done. So she has got a long way to go between now and, what is it, 2 weeks?
The 18th of August, I think, is the DNC, or 16th or something.
You're going to start seeing some Democrats standing up going, you know, I'm not necessarily sold on her winning this. Let me try it. And that's the way the system should work.
Yeah, truly,
that's the way the system, that's what the conventions are supposed to be for, is actually elect, the majority of the convention elect the person that you want. And it happened with Trump. Everybody had dropped out. He was so strong. Okay, I get it. But, if I was a Democrat, I'd be very upset what just happened. They have forced Biden out because they see Biden can't win. So they have forced him out. So the votes you made in March for Joe Biden just got thrown into the wind.
Yeah.
They took your candidate out of play. Who is they? The powers of the Democrat Party, the Obamas, and the folks behind the curtain pulling the chains. So, the Democrats should be upset. They should have their feelings hurt.
But they should have been upset back then. They kind of railroaded the primary. They didn't kind of. They railroaded the primary to benefit Biden. I mean, they shut that down early.
But let's think about this. Kamala Harris has been screaming, he's in great health, he's a wonderful leader.
Of course, yes.
I follow him. And I mean, now she's got to change. Now she's going to be the candidate. She is the candidate of letting in 9.5 million illegal immigrants across the border. That's who she's a candidate. This is what she has to run on. The cost of living's up X percent. That's what she's got to run on. Gas prices up X percent. That's what she's got to run on. I mean, it is going to be a horrible platform to try to launch a campaign in 116 days and expect to win. Now, she'll keep the Democrats that are true Democrats. They don't care who you put there. They'll vote for whomever. And there's Republicans the same way. But people that actually are looking, I was surprised. I was in Milwaukee, and I was really pleasantly surprised at the number of Hispanics and black people there supporting Donald Trump. It just did my soul so much good. I felt for once this country was coming together. I really saw an avenue that this country is coming together. So Kamala Harris is not going to do that. She is not a peaceful person.
Speaking of who it might be, and what Trump world has to look at for competition, the rumor mill yesterday, and threw out a bunch of names, but Senator Manchin was in the mix, and now he said he won't run for president, won't change back to a D from an I. But to me, out of the people I looked at that could damage Trump's numbers, it was Manchin. That was when I said, that might be tough for Trump world.
Yeah, I mean, he could still run as an independent and pull numbers from Trump and pull numbers from Biden also, or from Harris also. I mean, there's so many scenarios you could play out here. That the clock's ticking and they're running out of time. You know, that it's interesting to watch because the hill up here is a nervous wreck. And the one thing I would encourage everyone to be very much aware of is what's happening overseas, what's happening in Russia, what's happening in Ukraine, what's happening in Israel. I'm afraid these countries may take advantage of all of this confusion that's going on in America right now. So, you know, I really caution us all to be on high alert. You know, and continue to pray for these countries. Continue to pray for our administration here, because we've got a rough 4 or 5 months coming.
Yeah, speaking of that, I may get in that later in the show, as Israel actually themselves, it's been us before, but Israel responding to the Houthis with the missile strike there. So it's a new part of that conflict. Congressman Jerry Carl, our guest, if you're just joining us. Congressman, speaking of VP choices that we did on, that's on the Dem side, your thoughts here since the convention and the VP choice of J.D. Vance for Donald Trump?
You know, I really knew nothing about J.D. Vance when he got nominated. Of course, I knew he was senator, and I knew he'd done a good job there. But after he got nominated, I went back and I did a little more research, and I saw clips from that Netflix movie about his life. And I mean, that's the relatability of why I think Trump got him. He can relate to the middle class and the poor class of Americans, and they can relate to him. And you and I have talked about this several times. Who's going to be the next president in 2028?
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to be the candidate? So J.D. Vance would fill that role so well, so well. So I'm excited that he's got it. The wonderful thing is the Republican Party has so many horses in the stable that they could have ran one of 6 or 7 candidates easy. And done a great job. J.D. Vance is the one that Trump has picked, and J.D. Vance will be the one that we'll all get in behind and support.
I hear the horn going off. I hope you have a couple minutes here before vote time, because I want to get your thoughts about what's going on watching it today. My side note here, as a broadcaster who is under the rules of the Federal Communications Commission and listening earlier to the questions at the House Oversight Committee of Director Cheadle at the Secret Service, I would just say, hey, if y'all are going to use potty mouth, on those oversight committees, then don't make me have to edit all the comments. We're going to, run Nancy Mace's comments. I'm like, dang it, you're going to make me have to go through and edit. But yes, listening to that today, do you think anything's coming out of this? Do you think this is going to just be for show, or do you think you end up? How do you run around? You had talked about defunding, but Lord knows I don't want to defund the Secret Service. I want them to do a better job, not a worse job.
No, and the defunding, I was talking about defunding some of the upper management. I wasn't talking about the guys in the field on the ground. That's never been part of my conversation. But we've got to find a way of getting their attention, and money's always the way to get everybody's attention. I think this was I think we've got so many peacocks up here in Washington and all. Everybody wants to strut around and be seen. Nobody wants to work. I think she is one of those peacocks. I think she's got a very strong relationship, I understand, with Jill Biden. Okay. So she got picked in that position. I'm sure she's surrounded by people that are more than capable of doing it. It failed. I mean, common sense tells you 150 yards from the top of a building, you better have the top of the building secured. I'm not a specialist by no means. That's just common sense. So she's failed. What they're trying to do, they're trying to push her to resign. I want all the facts. And this is something I talked to you about also. You know, the facts, they'll continue to drip in. We're trying to move this faster. We're trying to get them faster. We want them, as soon as they find them, to share them with us as much as they can. But they're not doing that either. They're just really stalling, holding their ground. They know nothing's going to happen to them unless Biden chooses to fire her or get her out. They'll make her life miserable. They'll do exactly what they're doing, and she deserves it. She deserves it, but she needs to answer more questions. And we've got a handful around here that love to shock the audience with a few choice words. Which I find quite tacky. I think we should respect this office, without any malice. We should show this show respect for this office, because it we represent a lot of people that find offense to words like that. So
well, it just it's self-serving for me. It just means more work for us on, in the edit bay.
We all use them. We all use them, but get on the floor of Congress and use them as a different, totally different topic.
So, I agree. It's self-serving and just as a citizen. So with, you know, in looking at this, there's a, I watched a lot of the commentary today, and there's some grandstanding and peacocking. Absolutely. You said there's some questions being asked. Maybe some will be asked behind closed doors, because whether this be in a Secret Service capacity or just in a business out there, if you had a failure this big, you would go back and say, what happened? What was wrong? Whether, you know, what happened? What, where was the screw up? So you don't do it again. It's a fair question. You have to open it up and say, who dropped the ball here?
Yeah, I'm firmly convinced, personally, from everything I've seen, that he's a lone wolf, and that's the hardest person to defend against.
But 150 yards away, wolf. I mean, come on, you know? I mean, 150
from a high point.
Yeah.
So, you know, you would always secure that. If it was a 1,000-yard shot, you know, you're limiting how many people can actually make that shot.
Right.
You know, that really narrows it down. But 150-yard shot, even I can make that one.
Yep.
But you know, obviously, if God was there, you know, Trump, I saw a different Trump when he was in Milwaukee. I think it's changed him a little bit for the good. He didn't seem near as angry. And that's a good thing. We need to tone things down, but we do need answers. We need her to answer the full question. And the question, she keeps falling back to, it's an active investigation, and you're going to have to get that from the FBI. Well, that's an old stall technique that we've all used for years, or had used against us for years, I should say. I've never been in a position to say something like that, but it's going to be an interesting week. Again, we've got the big protest with Netanyahu in here speaking. There's going to be 40,000 people outside. I don't know how they'll secure the buildings and keep them out of the buildings, but I'm sure they'll try, and we'll see.
40,000. 40,000 is what y'all are hearing?
There's going to be 20,000 pro and 20,000, Palestinian, pro-Palestinian. There'll be 20,000 pro-Israel. So there'll be 40,000 people out there arguing with one another, so.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what they're prepping us for.
I'm picturing any other country in the world that would have that kind of turnout to, if that country was doing something that had something to do with the United States, they would have that many people come out and protest one way or another. I don't know that it would exist elsewhere.
And that's what I'm saying. The world is watching. They're watching the collapse of the Biden administration. They're watching what's going on in Israel and Palestine. They're watching what's happening here as far as protest. I mean, we're being very closely watched by the world. Now's the time that leaders stand up and lead. You know, leaders stand up and say enough's enough. This is the direction we got to go. This is what we got to do, and do it. Move in that direction. Make changes as you move.
And where do you see that coming from right now? I don't know where you would expect that to come from.
Well, every one of us are leaders. We wouldn't be up here.
Well, in the executive branch, not yet in the legislative. I agree. There's plenty of y'all that could step up, but
we got to see Biden. We got to physically see him. I mean, I've never seen anything quite like this. This place is awful spooky today. Something's going on that we don't know about yet. So.
Well, I've learned to trust your gut instinct on this. So we'll watch what comes out later in the week. Congressman, as always, we appreciate your time, and we'll be probably checking back with you very, very soon here with the way Washington's going.
Anytime, Sean. And by the way, I'll pick the day I'll come in and run your radio station program one day.
Okay. I'll
let you know when.
Good. If you would, I got to take some time off in August to take the eldest child to college. So yeah, we'll work that up.
All right. Be good, buddy. All right. Take care.
There he goes. Congressman Jerry Carl. We're coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, so welcome back. Midday Mobile, Monday style. Coming up in hour number two, grab you out more calls and text at 343-0106. Plus, check in with Dr. Sean Powers, get a recap of the 91st Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo. some love. Good times down there. Good to see so many of y'all as well. All right, let's check the text line. Right now, starting, gosh, so many here. We'll get in this unnamed texter. Does Kamala Harris have any recent accomplishments? I would say hanging around long enough to become the Democrats' nominee for this presidential cycle. Let's see, Michael says, I'm just curious if anyone's heard from Biden yet today. I'm wondering if he knows he bowed out of the race yet. Well, you know, heard Congressman Carl say they hadn't seen him. Speaking of which, now, I guess this came in over the last 15 minutes or so. Pelosi has endorsed Kamala Harris. That still leaves, so, because that was a, that didn't happen yesterday, right? So now today, just recently, Pelosi's endorsed. That leaves Chuckie Schumer, Hakeem Jeffries, and the Obamas. We'll see if that's, if they're going to just dribble those out to keep it in the news cycle this week or where that is. I don't know how, with the machine set like it is, and we'll see, but that you could have another Democrat step up with this short period of time before the convention and make themselves the nominee. But that, again, in the political world we're in now, stranger things probably will happen. But I just, once again, just look at general logic. I don't know how you get that going before the, what is it, 17th, 18th, something like that, for the DNC convention. It's pretty fast. Let's see. Michael said, Motorman said, good afternoon, Sean. Why do you suppose the dropout letter was not on official White House letterhead? I don't know. It was odd that it was, not that you wouldn't also put a tweet or post up on X, but you didn't have it accompanying. I mean, that's just a weird way to say we're not, you know, Biden's not running for office again. You think it would? You could do that. You would put out an official White House document and then link it through in the post. So, Motorman, I don't know if there's anything to that, but it is strange as well. Are people looking for proof of life on the president? Thanks, Randall. Coming right back. More Midday Mobile calls and texts, 343-0106. And yes, Maximus says the real news is it's 40 days to Alabama football kickoff. Roll Tide, roll. Yeah, summer's done. Football's back.